Crime Alert. I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. Chad Daybell taking a page out of Chris Watts' book, sharing his innermost thoughts and feelings from death row at the Idaho Max Security Institution, CUNA. The convicted killer has started a website called Letters from Chad. Really? Return to sender. Daybell still maintains his innocence, saying he shares in the grief over the deaths of wife Tammy and Vallow's children, JJ and Tylee. Okay. Reportedly, the former Doomsday cult leader gets his letters out with the help of daughter Emma Murray. She believes her dad was framed. Question, by who? Jennifer Gould has the details.
Nancy, Daybell, and his daughter, Emma Murray, have been vocal in their belief that he was indeed framed. In his letters, the convicted killer claims his trial lawyers told him to sit quietly and not show emotion, which made him appear, quote, cold and uncaring, quote, the opposite of who he claims he really is. Daybell says he is using the website to share his story, quote, uncensored and unfiltered, end quote, because the media's portrayal of him is, quote unquote, unrecognizable. He insists he is not a, quote, cult member who should be feared, end quote, nor is he, quote, a conspirator or a killer, end quote. He maintains his innocence and hints that a, quote, more complete story will be shared during my appeals process, end quote. Daybell says he hopes his dispatches from death row will help generate, quote, feelings of healing, reconciliation, and understanding, quote, for those who have been following the case. Daybell was sentenced to death for the murders of his first wife and Lori Vallow's two children. His new wife, Lori Vallow Daybell, is serving a life sentence without parole for the same crimes. The 111-day manhunt for Travis Decker, the former soldier accused of suffocating his three young daughters, has ended with the discovery of his remains in a remote wooded area of central Washington, federal authorities have announced. In a stunning turn, U.S. Marshals declared Decker dead in new legal documents, bringing a close to a harrowing three-month search that captivated the nation. Here's Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison talking to KOMO News.
We never gave up. We told them we wouldn't give up. Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia deserved better. Whitney deserved better. Their family deserved better. Our community deserves better.
The grim discovery was made on September 18th near Leavenworth, not far from where the bodies of 9-year-old Peyton, 8-year-old Evelyn, and 5-year-old Olivia were found at a campground on June 2nd. An autopsy determined the girls died from suffocation, having been bound with zip ties with plastic bags placed over their heads. The children's mom had reported them missing on May 30th, after Decker failed to return them following a scheduled custody visit. Authorities said they found a bloody fingerprint on the tailgate of his abandoned truck, along with more plastic bags and zip ties. DNA from the zip ties and bags was matched to Decker, who had been an infantryman in the U.S. Army. He had been charged with 3 counts of murder and 3 counts of kidnapping. His ex-wife had expressed concern over his increasingly unstable mental health, noting that he had been living out of his truck and had a history of living off the grid. While the U.S. Marshals have officially declared Decker dead and have asked a judge to drop the arrest warrant, the announcement has sparked confusion among local officials. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison said his office is still waiting on DNA lab results from the human remains, which were found in a state of, quote, severe decomposition, end quote, spread across the ground, a condition consistent with animal activity. For now, the legal case is coming to a close, but a grim mystery lingers. Not only the manner of his own death, but the question of why he ended his three daughters' lives. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on your favorite podcast app and watch Crime Stories on Fox One and YouTube. Nancy.
Thanks, Jennifer. More crime and justice news after this.
A Michigan kindergartner is burned alive in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and now his grieving parents are suing for more than $100 million, alleging a web of corporate greed and gross negligence turned a routine therapy session into a fiery death trap. The lawsuit filed by attorney James Harrington, who represents the Cooper family, spoke at the news conference.
These things are designed and manufactured and sold and used for the sole purpose of profits, to get bodies in, bodies out, and get the next body in and next body out and take the money.
Thomas Cooper V, a spirited boy who loved audiobooks and Super Mario Brothers, was incinerated back on January 31st inside the pressurized chamber at the Oxford Center in Troy, a suburban Detroit alternative medicine hub. His parents, James and Juana Annie Cooper, had sought the therapy for his ADHD and sleep apnea, conditions not approved for such use by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The lawsuit, filed in Oakland County Circuit Court, accuses eight defendants of, quote, callous indifference to human life, end quote. It describes the monoplace chamber, a sealed tube-like enclosure, as, quote, a coffin waiting to ignite, end quote. As the chamber filled with 100% oxygen, a single spark created an instantaneous blaze. The lawsuit alleges that SeaChrist Industries, the Anaheim, California-based manufacturer, knowingly sold devices without critical grounding straps or adequate fire suppression systems, dooming any patient inside. Thomas, who was on his 36th session, was trapped in the inferno. His mom, waiting nearby, suffered third-degree burns on her arms in a desperate attempt to free him, but the chamber's design sealed his fate in seconds. The tragedy also sparked a criminal investigation. Four Oxford Center staffers have been charged, with CEO Tamala Peterson, safety manager Jeffrey Mosteller, and primary assistant Gary Markin, all charged with second-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. Chamber operator Alita Moffitt is charged with involuntary manslaughter and putting false information on medical records. All have pleaded not guilty. And finally, talk about driving a point home, or at least a school. A 12-year-old in Sacramento, California, hit the pedal to the metal, taking his parents' SUV on a high-speed joyride to school. The preteen led cops on a thrilling chase, reaching 70 miles per hour before his plans just stalled out. He learned a crash course in law enforcement, slamming the Ford into a patrol car and bringing a shocking end to his little adventure. Fortunately, though, no one was hurt. The minor now faces serious charges, and his road to ruin could cost his parents a fortune. Looks like his driving days have hit a traffic jam for now. Nancy.
For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories, where we do our best to find missing people, especially children, and help solve unsolved homicides. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.